You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, a lot is changing in the music industry, and it all affects you. Plus, a musician who has been affected by the music industry is getting the last laugh. You'll hear from him. Plus, it is summer. How relaxed are you? Not much at all, huh? We'll try to fix that. And they are ambiguous. They've been around for a long, long time, but now they are transgender baby names. Let's meet the friends. Packing on the pounds of funfotainment, Brooke Peterson is here.
Hello. You may be pulling your weight with your CrossFit classes, but apparently the rest of us Americans are kind of kicking back a little bit.
Ah, he took some time out, and now he can use a vacation. Welcome back to Chris Martin.
Would you stay at a Nazi beach resort? I mean, if it was really nice.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. And don't forget to subscribe to the program. You help us out by doing all of that. Folks at iTunes read your comments. They notice your five-star reviews. Let's get started. Brooke, who are you calling a fatty?
Nobody. Or all of us, basically.
All of us.
Yeah. Well, not maybe necessarily all of us, but apparently most Americans are now more considered obese than even just merely overweight.
I am certain I'm at least overweight. Because
probably
they have a chart,
so.
Right? Like a body mass index
it's all the body mass index.
Chris, you're up to speed on all this stuff, right?
Yeah, you check your body mass index. The weird thing is you might be listed as overweight, which would surprise me. But anybody looking at you would never say that. You know what I mean? Because who knows what the measuring factors are, but they've got to be pretty loose.
Or is any
right.
Okay,
or
looking around
tight.
The table, based on what you're on this story, Brooke, is either Chris or I obese?
We're all fat.
Obese.
We're all fat. I'm not sure if we're obese. You have to be have to have a body mass index of over 30 to qualify as obese.
30.
But 30 doesn't sound. And to be extremely obese, you have to be over 40.
Well, a finely tuned athlete's going to be in the four range, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I don't even know what that means. What is a body mass index? What do they measure?
Well, it's based on your height and weight. And I think I remember like in college, like in my gym class.
Oh, the pinch.
The pinch on your little, under your arm, right?
Yeah.
Your tricep area, which is always, that's just a nasty place to have the pinch. Nobody's fit there.
That's why the ladies all have them flappers going on because
the bat
too many pinches.
It's like the hardest place in the world to not have fat. That's mm-hmm. just, it's a loaded, you know, that's
yeah.
just loaded.
Well,
but,
it's a cool job though.
to pinch people.
What do you
arm.
Do? I'm the lady pincher.
Yeah, right. It's usually the creepy gym coach that does it.
Right. Let me check those jiggle spots.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the point is there are more obese people than merely overweight people.
Well, this is the first time where, yeah, the numbers suggest that we are not even just merely overweight, but now we have more of us that are obese.
Mm-hmm.
And that is led by African Americans. The men are 39% and women are 57% obese.
Wow.
Mexican Americans, men 38 and women 43%
mm-hmm.
Obese, and white men 35, women 34% obese.
Yeah.
Obese!
I don't know.
That's all going to change. Those numbers will all change after summertime. I see everybody piling into the gym.
Sure.
Give everybody 3 months. We'll get that
no,
whole thing
this is
turned
when
around.
We're all at our thinnest because
yeah.
it's, you know, hot and we're exercising, going to the pool and
this
the beach.
Conversation.
It's only going to get worse.
This whole getting conversation worse. Makes me hungry. We gotta, let's just change the name of the program to 30 BMI. What do you say?
Sure.
Yeah,
shooting
I'm
for
down.
The obesity. It's our goal.
All right. What else? Now, this was surprising to me. I mean, every year they come out with the top baby names, but now there's a whole new category of baby names. Is that correct?
Yeah. This is the category where you can't tell if it's a boy or a girl.
Like Pat
and Chris. Or apparently now
hey.
it's Quinn and Reese and River and Rory and a few others.
River.
And Sawyer and Taylor and
oh, you can't tell if it's boy or a girl.
Those are
yeah.
cool names. All those are cool names.
They are cool names. But they're saying that, you know, back in the 60s, it was kind of a trend then with women's lib.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted women wanted to have more gender neutral names.
Yeah.
And now they're saying that the millennials are just this really open minded group of people and they want a more fluid gender kind of specific or a fluid, less specific name for their their children.
In case there's a gender identity issue later in life. And
they don't have to go through all that.
And
you know,
Bruce becomes
tape.
Caitlin. Yeah. And if Bruce had a more gender neutral name,
he could have kept it.
I see what you're saying.
No problem with the DMV. No problem with Social Security. Easy breezy.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, by the way, just a little thing.
I think it's just because those names sound cool.
I do too.
Yeah.
Before, when I was younger, I used to love those names just because they were cool.
Yeah. But
River, Taylor, what were those?
Sawyer.
Names? Yeah, Sawyer.
Carson, Peyton, Jordan.
Is that the category, though? Are they now officially transgender names?
Gender neutral. Gender neutral.
I'd prefer that. If I were the kid and I didn't have any identity issue, I am who I am, but my name is Quinn.
I like mm-hmm. Quinn.
Yeah. Quinn's cool.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
But that doesn't, you have a transgender name. You know, everything's labeled. Like when you did the obesity thing,
keep saying transgender. It's gender neutral.
Yeah, I know.
I like transgender, though. Same thing.
Well,
it goes both ways.
Well, right. In some cases, people do.
Right, yeah.
I just don't want to know about it.
Bye.
It's none of my business, is it?
I just want to change my name to River.
I think we should all make it our business.
But here's the thing, though. If Quinn comes, nice to meet you, I'm Phil. Hello, Phil, I'm Quinn. Oh, okay, immediately in my head, all of the possibilities race through my brain. Oh, possibly gender issues, possibly... bisexual, possibly all of these sorts of things.
I
now I'm computing
cool
all of these,
of
perhaps the identification of these names adds another layer of judgment that happens whether you like it or not.
And then if they become a doctor, you immediately assume medicine woman.
That's exactly right.
So you got that whole thing going
I used to
on.
I love that show. You know, just there was a vague reference to the Kardashians, and I just want to throw this out while I'm thinking about it. Robert Kardashian's ex-wife. Robert Kardashian is the dead father of all of these shenanigans that's going on. Anyway, his ex-wife, Jan Ashley, says that Robert thought that O.J. Simpson was Khloe Kardashian's real dad, and she says he told her, quote, "Oh, my God. He's so black. He has curly hair. So does Khloe. You think it's him?" And she says, Kim Kardashian agreed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What does OJ
anyway,
say
this
about
is, this? OJ, who cares? He's in jail eating cookies, right? Is that what he's doing?
Eating cookies. I think he gets snuck a cigar here and there.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing.
Man about town in that prison in
But that rumor's Nevada. Been around forever. People have even offered Khloe money to do a... blood test, you know what I mean?
DNA test?
DNA test, prove it. But
no,
what if she already has and just hasn't told anybody?
If any of the Kardashians ever did a DNA test, you can expect to see it on a shelf in a nice bottle.
Yeah.
For sale?
At the Walmart, right?
Yeah, I think she's just waiting for the opportune moment, and then it's like 2020, or we'll give her $50 million to do it on television, live.
Exactly. Chris, you were talking about, what are people going on, a Nazi vacation?
It's a possibility. If you're over in Germany and you want to try something different, see what you think of this. There's a complex called the Colossus of Prora, which is like this sprawling coastal estate north of Berlin, and it was built as Hitler's dream for the largest beach resort ever created. And I've seen pictures. It is massive. It is beautiful. It ended up becoming the hub for Nazis to relax during their rampage in World War II. Now, it's sat as a ghost town ever since, because I don't know if you guys know or not, but Germany lost that war.
Yeah, not a whole lot of Nazis left.
No, but you still have this, like, 10,000-suite palatial estate right up against the coast, and these architects are chomping at the bit to get in there and remodel it, because it's got this wonderful old-style architecture as well, beautiful land, and a lot of Germans are saying, leave it to rot. It symbolizes something from the Third Reich. We don't want anything to do with it. Different strokes for different folks, but the opinions out there, it looks like it will probably get money from the government to be remodeled and turned into a place we can all go to and enjoy the coast and all the fine memories.
I see another Best Marigold Hotel sequel coming.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to call it?
Let me work on that. I'm going to work on that. Did you know that skinny jeans could kill you?
It's true.
That's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. We were talking about how the obese are now the majority over the overweight. Don't know if the two combined outnumber the relatively fit, but something tells me here in America perhaps they do. But the whole conversation made me hungry, so let me throw this out real quick. Unfrosted Pop-Tarts have more calories than frosted ones. Mm-mm. Am I lying?
Yes.
Probably.
Am I out of my mind?
Yes.
It is true, because the unfrosted Pop-Tarts have slightly thicker crust, which is dense with calories versus the pure sugar in the frosting.
There you go.
Less crust in a frosted
carbs
one.
Carbs over sugar.
But the frosty ones are just so much more tasty, aren't they?
Yes.
Just,
so it's
I
kind
can
of
inhale
a win.
Those.
You win, though.
Yeah.
This is a good thing.
So now, when you forget for a moment that you're overweight or obese, you could throw in an extra two Pop-Tarts with the frosting into the toaster.
Yoo-hoo!
And not feel guilty about it.
Yes!
I don't even take the time to throw them into the toaster.
Bam.
Straight out of the package.
I just eat them.
Room temp, huh?
Out of the cupboard.
Room temp.
Yep.
But
that's
they're
right.
Better when they're warm.
Don't don't spend any time on that guilt about what you're eating, because you're shaving years off of your life with all that stress. Which, incidentally, later in the program, we're going to talk about how to relieve the stress and start enjoying your summer again. You can reclaim your summer. Sound like a plan?
Yes.
You know, one way is just to take vacation.
Yeah. How the heck do you do that these days? Got to just keep working. All right. So the whole fad of skinny jeans, is it over yet?
I wish it were.
I mean,
why?
I hate skinny jeans.
I bet you'd look good in skinny jeans.
No, buddy looks good
well,
in skinny
okay,
jeans.
Well, okay. There's two ways to look at it. There's guys in skinny jeans. And then it seems like the gals are going back to the 1970s when they were all wearing the dittos.
Dittos.
You don't remember what those are because you're just a baby.
Dittos, what you say when you and somebody. Oh no, that's what you say when somebody says something to you and you try to say it back. And be yeah. like, I love you, and you'd be like, ditto.
Ditto.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you're so cool like that.
Right, but the dittos were so tight that when a lady walked by, you could see the beginnings of an ingrown hair on her on her butt cheek.
No.
Yeah, you could see that. That's how tight they were.
That's awful.
And we're getting back to that now. And you can't put a lot else on underneath them. And so you tend to start seeing stuff that you don't typically see out in the street. So might as well just not wear any pants, if you ask me.
Hear, hear. All right. Next subject.
So that's it. That's an end of skinny jeans. Uh-huh. Now we're just going pantsless.
That's it. Pants
It'd
off,
be
dance
better.
Off. Let's do this.
Was there a story related to this?
There was.
It seems to, useless now.
Well, okay.
Or pointless.
Briefly then, I'll just run over this. There's a woman who almost died from her skinny jeans.
Oh,
yet
my
another
gosh.
Reason to not put those suckers on.
Yes, okay.
She was helping her friend move, and she was squatting for a couple hours, packing
squatting. Squatting at her. That's you. How do you squat in skinny jeans?
You
well,
don't.
They're stretchy. Well, that's the thing. She was so constricted for so long that she almost died. She left a couple hours later, was losing feeling in the lower half of her legs, ended up tripping and falling, and then couldn't get back up. And she waited for a couple of hours for a car to pass. She flagged it down, took her to the hospital, and she was on intravenous fluids for 4 days
yes.
until she recovered.
Oh,
4 days. She
could
have died. Skinny jeans.
You know
bad.
Why don't they? Why don't they just build the intravenous feeding tube into the jeans? There's an advancement.
Well, it sounds like a pretty
pretty
rare occurrence that somebody actually suffocates their lower half to the point of bringing them to the hospital.
It is
right?
kind of impressive that she was able to squat that long in skinny jeans.
Now here's some tight pants history again for you youngsters here in the room that you may not recall. When I was talking about the dittos in the 1970s, there was a problem that came along with those. The young ladies
Dittos. Were
the young lady. Not well. That's just the brand that everybody remembers.
Oh, okay.
You could look those up, but there were other brands.
I will do that.
But the young ladies were getting something called toxic shock syndrome. Yes. You may recall this. Now, it was related to the tight pants only because the ladies who were using the tampon during their time of the month would leave them in longer because it was such a production to get the pants off.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Hmm. There's something you don't hear every day.
And so toxic shock syndrome, and they were the toxicity of the environment there because the pants were so tight. And it's a little like with guys, you know, they say, what did they say about guys? If you wear stuff too tight around your equipment there, your sperm count's going to go down and you're not going to have babies. Or if you do, they're going to be, you know, four eyes and three arms when they come out because you're wearing tight pants.
This warning's all around.
Don't
there is.
Do it.
There
just
goes the skinny jeans, I guess.
Another
just crush all my dreams.
More reasons to walk around pantsless.
Why don't you just take away tube tops next, Phil? Ugh, something else you want to deprive from my
you like the tube
my
top?
Life?
The tube tops, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's another 70s reference. Are the ladies wearing tube tops again now?
They are.
Sure, that's...
Yeah, especially in Southern California.
That was equipment. 95. Dittos and tube tops back in the 70s.
Nothing beats a good sundress, if you ask me.
Oh, I
anyway,
love a sundress.
Yep, top of my list.
Right. Okay,
good
Chris.
Man. Good man.
Let me look at your list of stories here. Oh, no. Look away. You have a story about Pete Rose?
Pete Rose, yeah, he's back in the news. If you don't know who Pete Rose is, he's a legendary baseball player, especially from behind the plate or in front of the plate as a batter. He could really wreck the ball as a batter.
And he could wreck a catcher if he's coming down the third baseline.
Yeah, that was the
other
thing.
Ready to do that Superman slide.
Lower his shoulder, and he'll just try to knock the ball out of your glove if he was coming home and you were standing there trying to stop him.
But great player.
He came under fire years ago, and we've all heard about it, for betting on baseball while a manager of the Cardinals. He finally reluctantly admitted the fact that, yes, he did bet on baseball, which is a no-no. And it's kept him out of the Hall of Fame. But he always kept the same story that he never bet on baseball as a player. Now, of course, evidence comes out. New documents show that Pete Rose did, in fact, bet on baseball as a player while racking up record-breaking hits, so, you know, just smashing baseball records as a batter. And it looks like this is not going to help his bid to get into the Hall of Fame.
He's not getting into the Hall of Fame.
No, yeah, it's pretty much his hopes are dashed now.
Yeah.
There was a time right before this report came out, which just came out a couple of days ago, where you felt like guys got an opportunity.
Yeah.
Feels like people are going to let water be under the bridge.
Weren't they talking about moving on and sort of considering his whole position there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if they
have room. If you've ever been to the Hall of Fame, they have a hall where all the plaques are. It doesn't seem long enough with the amount of people that they add each year. It seems like they're going to run out of real estate. And then they get into the main rotunda area. You walk through the front door and the hall's on the left where all the plaques are. And then in the rotunda, the last time I was there, there was a 20-foot-tall poster of Mark McGwire. And his bat, where he hit his record-breaking home run and all that sort of thing. And then he was discredited later, but the hall decided to keep him there and keep the display. And then you go in and you see the big Babe Ruth display on another part of the thing. And then you go into the second floor, and there's an end cap about the size of a lunchbox commemorating the achievements of Hank Aaron. And I always thought it was just kind of a weird place, the Hall of Fame. It's there's a lot of history there, but the proportion... The proportionality is a little out of whack when you think about it.
Maybe it's time for a remodel? Add a little space in there?
Yeah. There's a good diner next door. You can get some some Coca-Cola poured in a dirty glass and then order some sandwiches or some hot dogs.
You think they have baseball trivia on the placemat?
They might.
Oh, they must.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Right.
It's a pretty part of the country, though. If you ever drive over there, just enjoy the drive.
Is that Indiana? Where is that?
No, it's in upstate New York.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's pretty dry.
Well, there's a rotunda. That sounds like lots of wall space there.
Yeah. It's not a big rotunda.
What's a rotunda?
It's a round room.
Oh.
Like a
round room
a
is a rotunda?
Like a road.
So the Oval Office in the White House would be a rotunda?
Sure.
It's a round room. Okay.
Yeah. Well, something
is
like
that.
Right? No, not necessarily, though. No, well, that's a room.
Is it like the ceiling, more of the rounded ceiling?
It's a rounded ceiling, and let's look it up.
Like
I think
a dome.
Latin
rotund,
and
big.
Tunda, right?
I don't round. It's round.
You guys are using a word, and you don't know what the definition is.
Uh-huh.
I just caught you guys doing that.
Well, somebody who knows something, please walk into
said
the room.
Rotunda
and,
three
and
times.
Remy?
And
Remy?
You know what it means.
Yeah, my wife is usually listening, and she's correcting me constantly. Perhaps she's listening on delay. We'll find the answer to this in a second. Here's something. Is Alaska rotund?
I would say
yes. It's huge.
It's huge. Alaska has more coastline than the rest of the United States combined.
That's
think about it for a second.
Crazy.
It's not as big as the United States. However, think about if you traced a line around Alaska and then you took that line off of your piece of paper and stretched it out straight. There are so many little nooks and crannies in the coastline of Alaska.
East Coast, Florida Panhandle, Gulf of West Coast. That's a lot.
This is according to the people over at Mental Floss, who I'm sure if we called them right now would tell us the meaning of rotunda.
Let's call them then. I need to know how they came up with this fact as well.
Yeah. All right. See, a lot of unbelievable stuff. We had this. We had the Pop-Tarts, and we're learning things today that we wouldn't normally know about.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah. Always happy to help. In fact, it's more United States stuff. The temperature in Miami has never gone above 100. In fact, it's only ever hit 100 once since they've been keeping records, and that was July 21st, 1942. So if you've ever been to that part of the country, you know that it is sweaty, right?
Yeah.
The average age, on the other hand,
equator than every place
well
else.
North of 100.
Is it?
Well north?
Yes. All right. Very good. Hey, have you ever wondered what musicians have to deal with on the road to success or on the road to failure? Have you wondered about that? Are you a musician yourself? Do you know a musician? Do you wonder why he still lives in the back of his van? Down by the river. Well, our next guest knows a thing or two about life on the street or in a van by the river. Dealing with the record industry, he's written all about it. Did he get revenge? We'll face the music next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. If you add a .com to the name of the show, you visit our website. How nifty is that? It's thanks to the old internet. They invented that a couple of weeks ago, and we've been really taking advantage of it by promoting the program there. So you should visit the website and go look at the show fun page, look at the how to listen page, look at the information about the hosts of this here program so you could read up all about them and send them interesting, if not threatening, messages via Twitter and Facebook and all those other places that are part of this internet thing. I want to tell you about a guy named Greg Anton. He's a drummer, he's a composer, co-founding member of the band Zero. Greg has performed on numerous recordings and at thousands of concerts worldwide, playing with John Lee Hooker, Otis Taylor, members of the Grateful Dead, among others. He's a practicing attorney and a writer. His new novel is called Face the Music, and Greg Anton joins us live right now. Hey, Greg, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Phil. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's always great to have musicians on the program, and once in a while, it's great to have attorneys on the program. You're the drummer everyone wants in a band, the one who understands contracts and publishing and all those things that can make or break a band, right?
No. I think people wouldn't want a drummer in the band. They want a good drummer.
Oh, okay. And all that other stuff doesn't come in handy. So it always, you know, I think maybe drummers get a bad rap a lot of times that they seem like they're the replaceable, interchangeable guy in the group.
That's the way it feels sometimes.
Yeah. But see, you bring other things to the table. Now, what did you do in life? Were you a musician first and foremost, then the law thing came along and eventually writing seeped into your routine?
That's pretty much how it went. I started playing the drums when I was about 12 years old, and I've been playing my whole life. And on the side, to keep things going, I went to law school.
Oh, all right. Good. Any particular type of law?
I do a lot of cannabis-related stuff.
Oh, look at you. There's a need for that.
I'm an advocate.
Yeah, all right.
That kind of thing.
We've had plenty of that on the program, and there's an increased need for that as days go on. In fact, our state of California is more than likely going to have something on the ballot here not too long in the future.
I've been watching the issue for my whole life, and I've never seen so much change in that area than is what is happening right now all across the country.
We can learn a lot from the lemmings. People catch an idea, and it runs across the country like wildfire.
That's absolutely right. And we've learned, starting to learn a lot from the alcohol prohibition times.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of similarity there.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about your book. It's called Face the Music. It's fiction. It's set in San Francisco in the mid-70s, and the main character is a street musician named Woody. Tell us about him.
Woody is like so many guitar players. He's a conglomerate, pretty much, of all the great guitar players that I've been lucky enough to play with. And he just, there's not much about drummers in the book, actually. It's about guitar playing. And from my seat on the drums, everywhere I look, I see guitar players my whole life. And so that's what I wrote about. You can check it out on my website, gregantonmusic.com.
gregantonmusic.com. The book, by the way, is also available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, if that's easier for you to remember. And we'll link to your website as well on our links page. The antagonist in the story, the music industry?
Basically, yeah. It's a story about a really struggling guitar player, a brilliant singer-songwriter. He writes a song about his girlfriend, Stephanie. The song gets stolen. There's a legal battle, and I won't say more.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's basically the story.
Yeah, so the song about Stephanie is, did you actually write music for that?
Well, actually, I wrote the book, and I gave it to Robert Hunter, the lyricist who, you know, the Grateful Dead lyricist. He's writing songs with Bob Dylan. He's one of the greatest American songwriters going. Hmm. In fact, two nights ago, he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in Nashville.
Well, congratulations to him. Tell him I said so.
Great. Prolific writer. I gave the book to him, and I said, I've written about 35 songs with him for the different bands I've played with, and it's just an honor to work with him. And I gave him my book, and I said, how about a song? This guy writes a song called Stephanie. So he gave me a beautiful lyric for a love song, and you can hear it on iTunes.
Yeah, or let's just dip into a touch of it right here. The song's called Stephanie. That's good sounding stuff right there. Is that you singing?
No, that's Tim Hockenberry. Yeah. I played the drums and played the piano, and I wrote the song with Robert Hunter, but got some great players, Steve Kimmock on guitar,
yeah,
Melvin Seals on organ, and Tim Hockenberry on vocals.
Yeah. Now, have you banged heads with the music industry over the course of your life?
I've been working at it, and it's very difficult. I don't feel like our American culture really supports the arts.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to say, Phil, it's guys like you that help get it out there, and it's kind of a partnership, but the way that you support music and writing and so forth, otherwise musicians would be singing in the shower.
Yeah, we do what we can. Last week on the program, we talked about how to save music in schools and all of that, and it's a difficult situation because of how technology is making it so much easier for the consumer to just bypass a lot of the process, and in so doing, kind of forgets that there is an economy that needs to be addressed.
That's so true, and I'm glad you support that. You know, you go sit in a restaurant, and nobody expects you to get the furniture for free, or the lighting, or the, you know, everything they need, or the food, but the music's playing. And who provides the music? Oh, that's supposed to be for free, people think.
Yeah.
It's just kind of become wallpaper.
Well, now you're in the book business, and you can go into a big bookstore. People will sit on a nice, comfy couch or a chair provided by the bookstore, and they could pull your book off the shelf, read it from cover to cover, then put it back on the shelf, and then go home.
That's true.
So it's an interesting comparison there from the music industry, where so many people are getting music for free, to now you're in the book business. Lucky for you, you can charge by the hour as an attorney.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to make it as a writer. I just really enjoy the process. I enjoy sitting by myself. It's exciting working with a bunch of crazy musicians and playing in bands. But I really enjoy writing and working by myself and writing about music. The idea was not to give, you know, my theories about music, but to show through a fictional setting how powerful I think music can be.
Yeah. Tell us the name of your website again.
GregAntonMusic.com. com, and the book is called Face the Music.
Face the Music.
It's available on your website, on Amazon, and you can.
It's easy to find, and it's a good read. And what's next for you? Another book?
I'm working on a sequel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this when Stephanie joins the band?
I don't know. I have to see what she wants to do.
Yeah, it might break it up, you know.
Yeah, bring your girlfriend into the band. That's a new idea.
Yeah, right. It's never gone well. Greg Anton, a pleasure to speak with you. Good luck with the book. And where can we see the band Zero play? Are there any dates worth noting?
Zero, we're talking about doing some more dates. I play around the country. I have a new band called The Rock Collection.
Oh.
I play with a lot, and we're talking about some Zero dates. There's none on the books right now.
Yeah, okay.
But I play all the time.
And that's good. Good for the brain. Good for society. Let's support music. Greg Anton, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Phil.
All righty. There he goes. We have a drummer on the show. Is that the second time we had a drummer? No, we had the guitar player from the Police.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh yeah, that was great. That was cool.
And we have a drummer. Now we need we've had a guitar player. Paul Gilbert was on the program. We had a guitar player. Now we need to have a bass player.
Yeah. Then you'd have almost an entire band.
I'm sure we've had a keyboard player on from time to time. There was a guy I seem to recall a long time ago who was just wacky, who composed some songs and they were just ridiculously terrible.
And you had him on the show?
Yeah, yeah. I think we did. Long time ago, maybe 2 years ago. Oh, and then there was this comedian lady who was in here with the mismatching tennis shoes.
Oh, yeah. That hipster.
She played all kinds of music.
Drinking music.
She liked beer.
Yeah,
she
liked beer.
Yeah. We drank beer while we listened. It was great.
Yeah.
I like that guy's song, though. It was good.
It
had a nice vibe to it.
It had kind of a Jackson Brown feel to it, didn't it?
Good call.
Kind of old school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. If you're into that sort of thing. And if you're into Taylor Swift, mama.
Speaking of music.
Yeah. You'll have to wait till we come back. That story's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we thank you for that. Because without you listening, what would be the point? It would just be us sitting around. We could do this show from our living room for our own edification. Never mind all the other people that listen. They never come around. They never bring gifts. You'd at least bring a bottle of wine, wouldn't you think?
It's customary. It's nice too, yeah.
Wine is always a good move.
What's I don't know boo about wine. I know there's red and there's not
wine
red.
Is
there's
so
white
great.
Wine. Yeah. Yeah, but what do I pick? If I want to act smart, help me out here. If I'm sitting down for dinner with some wine aficionados and I don't know boo about wine because I'm more of a beer guy, but they say, "Well, Phil, go ahead and order something off the wine list." I'll have some of this cabinet Sauvignon stuff here. Right? What do you think? Is that any good? So if I were to just kind of fake impress my friends, what should I order?
Well, there's depending on what we're having. Talking to the server about that, or even talking to their sommelier if they have a sommelier.
A what?
A wine dude.
Oh,
or
okay.
Didette.
Sommelier.
A sommelier.
Does everything have to be French?
Because it's fun.
Yeah. All right. But okay. So let's say I'm having fish for dinner. And everybody else is having fish. So what do we get?
Step number one, the whole white with fish and red with meat is not necessarily, you don't have to follow those rules.
Oh, but that's,
you really don't.
That's easy stuff for guys like me.
I mean,
like
if it helps to sort of make you feel like you have some sort of guidelines, sure, go with that. But those rules, they don't really necessarily have to, There's great white wine with red meat and red wine with fish and chicken. It's all.
So what I should say then is let's call the sommelier over here so that he can suggest a perfect pairing.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Wow.
And then he will continue to, he will come forth and sell you on a $450 bottle of wine.
No.
Oh, I know the perfect wine that goes with that particular fish that you're having tonight.
Yeah, yeah, and then I'll say, but you can't open that cork with your teeth. Now we're talking fun. All right. You know who else is fun? And you can't deny that she isn't perhaps the most successful female artist to come along in music for several decades. I can't think of anybody who's been as powerful, musically speaking, on the female side since, I don't know, since Whitney Houston was a thing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and Celine Dion, why? She's a little industry on her own. Yeah, Madonna, but it's been a good 20 years, and she's really been that powerful force that you just cannot deny. But Taylor Swift, she could, her fake eyelashes could fall off, and somebody will collect them and sell them on eBay for $1 million.
She is definitely rocking it, that is for sure.
Yeah, and her music
and
ain't,
she's a baby.
It's not
she's
bad.
Like, what, 23,
she's
24?
A good singer. She a good songwriter. She writes about love and sex and all this sort of thing, and purportedly has never had sex.
No,
that's right.
Not
that's
true. That's not reported
Why
at
not?
All.
Yes, it is.
It wasn't. There was reported that she's not having sex with her current boyfriend.
No, it was reported
no,
that
like
she's
a virgin.
No.
I think that's what she's saying.
You refuse to believe that she's a virgin.
No, I refuse to believe there's even a report that says
because,
that she
because
is.
In your fantasy life, she lost her virginity years ago.
I see that challenge, and
no,
I accept it.
She's dated Hollywood's
and
elite.
And they've all left her.
Elite
and the theory
showman.
The theory is they've all left because she wouldn't put out.
No. That's
sounds like
the
you
theory.
Have an inside
the
scoop
is
going
that
on
she's
in that brain of
yours.
Have
with.
You and Taylor Swift
conversed about this?
Have you
yeah,
have you had
up to
have
me.
You had a game of toss football in the sheets?
No. No, I haven't. I just know what I know what I know. I know what I know
have?
When I see a girl rampaging around Hollywood like that. You know what's going on.
You
down.
Don't think she just knows the game and how to market and how to sell her music because sex sells.
Well, she's been groomed for all this anyway, and it's not that she necessarily knows how. She has a team around her that
but
that
okay.
Handles all
no,
of
I
that,
understand
yeah.
that, but are you saying sex is part of the grooming?
No, I'm saying sex is part of life, and she's mid-20s and she's been dating a lot of guys that are known players.
Yeah.
And there's no way that she went through that lineup of dudes and never once experimented. We'll even call it that.
See, for a minute, I thought you were going to say, rather than players, I thought you were going to say Lotharios.
Lotharios. I was actually going to use a word that we can't use on this radio program. The
it's
first
internet.
One that popped into
it.
Mind. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's in other places too. People are listening to us on their TVs, believe it or not, because they know how. And I wish they would explain it to me. But anyway, this all started when I brought up the name Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
is she in the news?
She is.
What a coincidence.
And she's flexing those muscles again. Those powerful muscles from that skinny little girl. We might remember back in November when she sort of took on Spotify and told Spotify that they couldn't use her music library on their platform because they weren't paying.
She spitify on the Spotify people.
Exactly. Yes. Very nice. Yeah. And so now with Apple has their new music platform coming out, and their deal with their new subscribers or potential subscribers is that they get to listen for free for 3 months.
Hey!
But they're not planning on paying any of their artists during those 3 months. And Taylor's like, ho-ho, hold up. That's not cool. You can do what you want, but the artists deserve to be paid.
Yes.
She wrote an open letter on Sunday. I think it was the New York Times, perhaps. And by Sunday night, she had a response from Apple via Twitter saying, oh, okay, so sorry. We will pay. Mm-hmm. We will figure out a way to pay the artists. And you know, you're right, and we're sorry. And
well, because they see the potential damage, fiscal damage to losing the Taylor Swift catalog.
Absolutely, and hopefully, I mean, other bigger artists who could afford to pull their music or at least withhold their music would do so and sort of follow suit. And she wrote this letter. Who knows if she wrote it or not? You know, but it was a very well-written letter, and she basically says, it's not about me. I can earn a ton of money doing my live shows. It's about the independent artists who really depend on, you know, every bit of residuals and licensing fees they can get.
See how she is? if Apple doesn't do what she wants, she'll cut Apple off.
That's what you got to do.
Looking at it. Yeah, that's true. I mean, she wields a big stick.
Yeah.
It seems
I love
altruistic,
it.
Though, right? She's doing it for the right reasons.
It mm-hmm. seems
we
like
all agree.
It.
Apple
yeah.
makes enough money, they could ditch some of it to the.
So I'm pretty sure
artists.
Apple's thinking that she's probably a virgin.
They'll say whatever she wants, obviously.
I don't know that virgins are quite so savvy.
They'll stand behind her no matter what she wants to claim.
Is Google on the outside looking in on all of this stuff because there's a Spotify and then Apple's going after Spotify? But does Google have a competitor for this?
Yes, they do. They do. Well, they just bought that that service, Songza. You guys know Songza?
Oh, they bought Songza.
They bought Songza recently.
Yeah.
There's
and
so many now.
Yeah, there are, right? It's really a rough industry to try to keep up with. But yeah, Google is going to try to combat what's happening with Apple, who's launching their music program next week by launching their own music playlist curator today.
Today?
For free.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you say music curator, they say, because you like Taylor Swift, we think you'll like Tom Waits.
Not necessarily. It's more like because you're drinking cafe latte first thing in the morning, you'd probably like this music.
Oh.
Or Norah Jones.
There you go. Okay, good.
We'll this is a fun game. Keep going.
Because you're walking on the beach at sunset, you probably...
Buffett.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to a kegger at a college campus...
Leonard Skinner.
This is what Songza is about.
This is what Songza does. You sort of type in a mood or a theme, and then Songza will put together music that fits that theme.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know how they do that, because everybody perceives music differently.
Yeah. Yeah, they do their best. But for the most part, we have similar tastes with that. By the way, it will be ad-supported, this music program that they have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't expect to not have your music interrupted.
Yeah.
Eventually, they'll offer a premium package you can pay for, get rid of all the ads, just like the rest of them.
Yeah.
Well, but this is how they fight back. Google, not going down without a fight.
Of course not. Google wants to be all things to all people, and eventually they will be.
So far, they're doing a good job of it.
Yeah.
I like Google.
Right. Do you? They're all monsters.
Are they?
Speaking of monsters, are platypuses creepy animals?
They're a little weird.
They got that duck bill thing that you could flap. You could flip a pancake with it if you wanted to.
They were made for comedy.
If they would cooperate. Did you know that platypuses don't have nipples?
Wow.
No. Never thought about it, but no, I guess not.
You know, just adding to the creepy nature of the platypus. They've got that weird pancake flapping bill.
Yeah.
And they don't have nipples. Now, here's the creepy part about not having nipples. They still feed milk to their babies.
That's
do you know
true,
how?
They're mammals, yeah.
Do you know how?
No.
They sweat out the milk for their babies.
Wow. They sweat milk.
That's right.
And so the babies just have to lick them?
That's right. So on a cold day, I'm thinking cheese. Hey, that's it for hour one of the show. So much more coming, including proof Facebook is even creepier than you thought. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, our travel guy joins us with a bleak report about Southern California's mountains. Who's better at dieting, conservatives or liberals? And Disney, I think we all agree, knows kids. And apparently, kids love to eat poop. If Disney says so.
What is wrong with kids?
Who are we to complain or deny? Hey, the friends are here. You just heard Chris Martin's voice. Brooke Peterson is here, and I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks so much for tuning in. Boy, this whole deal after that shooting in the South at a church has the story, Brooke, has so many layers to it now. And the whole issue of this guy, the shooter, and whatever was wrong with his brain and his perception of people and wrong and right is blown into a different proportion now that we know that he had a certain kind of flag hanging in his, was it his bedroom or his living room or?
I'm not sure exactly where the location was, but it was the Confederate flag, which is a fairly common thing in South Carolina. I can talk about this. I'm from South Carolina. I grew up there. You know, you see it all the time. And when I was there, the flag was atop the state capitol.
Oh.
And they were arguing at that point in time in the 80s and 90s about that. And still, even then, it took until, I think, the 2000 before they took it off the state capitol and moved it to where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah. So the Confederate flag is again in primary focus and a huge subject for debate right now, which I can't even believe is even for debate. I don't understand why this thing is still there.
Yeah. Well, so here's the way I look at it. I mean, I don't understand a city hall or some seat of a municipality, some power seat like that, like a state capitol, would in their right mind raise the flag of a rebel force that sought to break up this country and ultimately lost in a war. That was the original symbol of that flag, right? That it's a little like if, I don't know, here in California, if Sacramento were to raise the Mexican flag. I mean, isn't that something tantamount to treason?
I don't know. That seems like it might be supportive. I mean, didn't we push the Mexicans off the land?
No, true. But I mean, as a not as a let's.
That seems like more of an homage than it would be.
Yeah, if it were up there for a day or a week or whatever, and there was a proclamation that went along with it to explain. But if
as a
matter of practice, if they thought, okay, from this point forward, we're going to have the Mexican flag here in, at the state capitol, California. I think Washington D.C. would have an issue with that. On principle, might be some constitutional issue with that.
I just think it's much more than that. It's more of the symbolic, historic meaning and what it's come to represent.
Well, yeah,
to people.
You're right. It does.
I think that's where the real
it's come
energy
to,
comes.
It's come
in this
to
debate.
Mean it's come to mean that if you've got one of those hanging up, that somehow you're probably a racist.
That's the thing. And I feel like if it's on some sort of government or federal or some sort of municipal, either building, land, memorial.
It's an official endorsement.
Yeah. To me, it almost seems like a little wink to the people who might support it. And like the really uber conservative, white supremacists, whatever. Yeah. And like a little finger to other people who disagree.
Now, the other side of it that I didn't finish the thought is that you ought to be able to drive over to the Walmart and buy whatever you want and hang it on the wall of your living room. And it's none of anybody's business, provided you could buy it somewhere.
Well, yeah.
But
I mean,
Walmart ought to be able to refuse to sell it to you also.
And they are.
Right?
Walmart is now taking off all of their Confederate flag paraphernalia. Is that the right word? Amazon, Sears, and eBay all came out today saying they will stop selling Confederate flag.
Merchandise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They used
you.
To sell it online but not in their stores? Like you couldn't.
Walmart probably had it in their stores.
Yeah.
You know,
like in the T-shirt aisle.
South Carolina loves their Walmart. You know.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, I haven't been to a Walmart in South Carolina, but you might get into the camping section and find a pup tent with a Confederate flag on it.
Or a whole aisle of just all kinds of thermoses and flags
cosmetics.
And T-shirts and cosmetics.
That's the Confederate aisle.
The Confederate aisle. They probably have a whole section.
Yeah.
This does feel like one of those issues that's not going to last very much longer, right? Like,
it's been going on for 150 years.
Well, but I mean, now that it's hitting this boiling point, we're pretty much going to see the elimination of the Confederate flag right in front of our eyes, right? I mean, there's going to be a few left in people's basements folded up and placed in nice cases for some whatever fond memories they may have, but...
Well, I do think that now that the entire nation is looking at them and putting all this pressure on them, I think they almost have to do something about it. Before, there was always just within their own community.
And it's not just Walmart. It's eBay, Amazon.
Yeah.
It's the largest companies on the planet.
Yeah, and then one of the major flag manufacturers said they're going to stop making it.
So somebody else will start selling it. Ultimately, it'll be a smaller
outlet.
rebelsareus.com. but the other thing about young folks is, and we were all young at one time, counterculture and things that make folks uncomfortable and things we're absolutely certain that our mom would not like tend to be cool.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah.
And so that's why you see kids walking around with images on their T-shirts that are intended to upset people.
Mm-hmm. Instigate.
Instigate whatever and to just make some kind of a statement, whether they understand the complexity of the imagery or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why you see a lot of kids latching on to things that ultimately make society very worried that something bad is going to come out of this kid's head or they're going to load up and start shooting people up. And very often, the kids that do load up and start shooting people up tend to have these things. So we make that connection to mm-hmm. the imagery, whether that connection is logical or not. It just happens mm-hmm. to be, in many cases, these are the kids that go off. Well, there might be another 50% of the student body that also have something like that in their bedroom, but they would never for a minute think of doing anything.
Symbols are powerful. People rally behind symbols. I mean, yeah. You know, as far as Nazis and all that, the swastika. I mean, you can't. I don't think you can deny the fact that there is a lot. It's loaded.
Yeah.
You know, it's not nothing.
Yeah, but listening to Judas Priest music, did that indeed cause somebody to kill someone? Or listening to backward masked messages in records? Remember, we had all that. I don't know. People were just upset about that. It was hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's just a messed up kid or a messed up individual. And a percentage of society, no matter how many things we ban or how many things we accept, a percentage of society is going to be a little cracked.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the bigger the population gets, the percentage stays more or less constant, but it's more people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so because, wait, you're saying the population increases, so then the percentage.
If the percentage stays the same, it's still that percentage of the population
is more cracked people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those people help us iron out these kinks in society, too, in a weird way. And I'm not, you know.
No,
we're forced to look at it now because somebody went that far off the deep end.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That's a good point.
I do. And people are sensitive to, especially to racial issues these days, and it tends to come to the fore only when something like this tragedy happens. But it also forces other people to change their course in some instances, and a lot of political money running around to different places, and every now and then it comes out that, we were donating money or accepting donations if we were candidates from some place that, maybe we shouldn't ought to have taken that money because they're not exactly nice people.
Yeah, well, one other thing that's come out with all of this from Charleston, they have looked into Dylann Roof's manifesto, and he basically cites a group called the Council of Conservative Citizens that he endorsed their beliefs, and he was really inspired by their tenets and all that kind of stuff. And so, but now it's come out that a lot of Republican politicians have accepted donations from the head of this group, Earl Holt, and Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Rick Santorum are all either returning the money they have discovered was from him, or they're now donating it to the Mother Emanuel Hope Fund, which I think is a beautiful twist of irony, which then helps cover the funeral expenses of these people who were killed by mm-hmm. this guy.
Yeah.
So his money is actually going to help pay for their funerals.
Yeah. All right. Well, they've done the right thing then. You see a little mistake along the way and you correct it. And
makes figuring out the cut at the Republican debates a little bit easier, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
Who's going to make that cut line?
Yeah, that's right. Remember, didn't you tell us that they've got like 100 guys running for president on the GOP side, but they only have room for 10 folks at the podium for the debates? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. And some news anchor will get the opportunity to be the moderator of the debates. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's tough being a news co-host or an anchor these days, and the kind of equipment that you bring to the table to be entertaining and informative and all of that changes from time to time. In fact, Chris, you have an example of that.
I do have an example of that. And we're actually talking about a news broadcaster, a co-host on Fox and Friends.
Oh.
They're doing one of those outdoor broadcasts. You see them all the time, right? They're mm-hmm. kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think Kathy Lee Gifford started that whole thing, or I don't know. I'm sure they've been doing it forever. Anyway, they're doing one of these bits where they set up a wall with a cork bullseye on it and start throwing axes into it.
Uh-oh.
Everybody loves that bit.
What could go wrong?
Nothing. Are you kidding? So the co-host stands like 25 feet away from the board, which is only like 6 foot tall and 4 feet wide. It's a ridiculously small board for being out in the middle of nowhere outside where people are running around.
Mm-hmm.
He reaches over his head with both hands and an axe handle in tow with an axe head on the end of it.
Oh.
Flings it well over the backboard into the crowd. Everybody,
the crowd.
Dude's flinching on the, you know, he instantly goes into flinch mode, completely missed the board. The crowd all has their hands over their mouths, they're gasping, and you watch the axe fly over the bullseye over the target and hit a band member, a marching band member, in the arm.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Tags
the axe, axe in the skin, the flesh wound, the whole thing.
Why are people even behind this board where axes are flying? That's craziness.
Mm.
It is crazy. You have to see the video. It's just about everywhere right now. So if you get your chance, look it up.
We
should
get the Web Munchkins to post that for us because who doesn't enjoy seeing an axe going into a band member's arm?
Yeah.
Hey, a while ago, we introduced you to a man who offers therapy to veterans with PTSD, and he uses a particularly unique method to reduce a soldier's stress and anxiety. But what about your stress? It's summer. You should be chilling, right? But you are... you're working, right? And you're on schedule planning hyperdrive. So Kevin Rose is his name. He's going to help you reclaim your summer next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Welcome to summer. How are you doing? Are you relaxed, unburdened by schedules and getting stuff done? No? You're stressed out? Well, that's not right. And we're going to do something about it. Joining us live is a licensed manual therapist who uses simple solutions to relax the body and mind. He also uses a very unusual solution to reduce your anxiety at The Catalyst. He's been on the show before. Kevin Rose, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. And for folks that don't remember, remind us again what The Catalyst is.
Well, The Catalyst is a human-wild-animal interaction experience where we bring people face-to-face with some of the world's most powerful predators to help the people go from feeling chaotic to calm in seconds.
And it seems counterintuitive because I'd be shaking in my boots if I were face to face with the hot breath of an angry giant cat.
It does sound counterintuitive, but I promise you that it works.
And you continue to see results.
I do continue to see results. We're having more and more people come through, and it's really fantastic. We've really enjoyed some great results, and people are able to just learn some real simplistic ways to relax.
And nobody's been mauled.
Not yet.
Just checking.
Yet being the operative word.
Yeah. All right. Gosh, darn it. Let's hope for the best. Kevin, talk about summer. It's a time when we should pull back and recharge, right?
Yeah. You know, I remember being a kid and, you know, the last day of school was so exciting. And then you'd go and you'd swim all day and you're absolutely totally wiped out and hungry and have some dinner, and then you go out and play a game of capture the flag. And, you know, as an adult, it just doesn't happen that way anymore.
Because we're adults. We're not kids anymore. We have responsibilities.
That's right. But what happens in the summer is, stacked on top of those work responsibilities, you know, we're planning the summer vacations, we're planning the weddings, we're planning the summer camps. And even though they're enjoyable times, we just don't have the same kind of freedom and playfulness as we did when we were kids.
Yeah. All right. Now, how do we regain that?
I will show you. So three very simple steps. First of all, you have to make a decision to reclaim it. And I know it sounds very simple, but our bodies follow our mind's commands. So it's kind of like riding a bicycle. If you've ever ridden a bicycle and you've been off one for a while, you can get back on it and learn to ride. It's because we have tissue memory. And our minds will give the command to our body and they'll follow it. So first, you make the decision that you want to reclaim summer. Second of all, I want to show you this really quick technique. Do you have something to drink there, Phil?
Yes, I do. I've got what's left of a bottle of water. It's just backwash, but I think for this, it'll work.
It'll work for this.
Yeah.
So what I'd like for you to do is bring something stressful to mind.
All right, fine. I've done it.
You got that?
Not too hard for me.
Why are you looking at me?
That was fast.
All right. So as you have that in your mind, I want you to feel yourself in the chair. Feel where you're sitting. Feel your feet on the floor. But as you continue to think about that stressful thought, notice where and if you feel it translate into your body. Do you get a sense of that? Your jaw tightening, your shoulders, your stomach?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So quantify that. 0 out of 10, 0 being not stressful at all, 10 is excruciatingly stressful. Mm-hmm. Where would you put it on that line?
All right, I've got a solid 7.
Solid 7. Pick up that water bottle and just look at it in the light.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
Look at how the light goes through. Feel the water bottle in your hand. Feel the texture, the temperature.
Yeah.
Take the cap off. Smell the water.
Okay.
Take a drink. And feel again, bring your awareness back to your fingers. Feel the texture of the bottle in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now 0 out of 10, measure that stress level again.
Yeah. Definitely closer to a 2 now.
All right. So
you'd be down to a 0 if it was a massage.
Yeah, I think
right.
so.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's hard to do those through Skype.
But 5 points in a matter of seconds,
yeah,
that's not
that's
bad.
That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is when our minds are constantly going in that cyclical thought pattern, thinking about this, this, and this, our bodies follow that as well. So we'll begin to tighten up and stress. But when we bring our senses, our awareness back to our senses, it interrupts that thought process. It brings us into the present moment, and it allows that stress level to go down. Now, in order to reclaim summer, you take this tool, you take this sensory tool, and you walk outside barefoot in the grass.
Oh.
You start a balloon fight with, you know, your friends, your neighbors. You go out, you really smell the freshly mown grass. You listen to the cicadas singing. And what happens is it takes that stress level, even though the stress doesn't go away of the things you have to do, it takes it down really quickly, back down closer to where you were when you were a kid.
Yeah. And then you could start to reclaim and enjoy summer.
Absolutely.
And no big cats involved?
Well, unless you want to come down and spend some time with me, and I'm happy to walk you through that as well.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And so now a lot of people are stressed out because of things they can't necessarily change. They're helpless to change. And does your therapy eliminate that stress, or is it more or less impossible? Is it something that, okay, fine, maybe this is a summer you're going to take off from enjoying?
Well, you know, eliminating stress, when you think about that, life is full of stress, right? I mean, no matter what we do, we're going to have stressors. What this does is it takes the edge off of the stress so that it helps you navigate that stress with much more ease. If I'm grounded in the present moment using my senses, I'm going to be much more effective in dealing with anything stressful that comes my way.
Right. So you're more powerful than, let's say, you know, a family member has been diagnosed with something awful, terminal disease, something of that sort, or a young child in the family's been in a car accident, that sort of thing, where it's the number one focus in everything that you do, and it's hard to it's hard to stay on task because that is an overwhelming thought, and it translates into unimaginable stress.
Absolutely. But what happens is we tend to go backwards in time and forwards in time. So we try to replay the situation and figure out what we could have done better. We try to go forward in time to predict the future. And if we use the senses to stay in the present moment, no matter how big the stress is, it at least helps us navigate with more ease.
If you visit the links page at philhewlettandfriends.com, go to the letter C, you'll find Catalyst Refuge, and that's where you can find out all the information about that and more about Kevin Rose, and you've relaxed me, sir.
Excellent.
I'm prepared for the next segment, which generally stresses me out.
Excellent. We'll just keep that water ball in hand, and thanks so much for having me again.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. That's Kevin Rose from The Catalyst. And by the way, the big reason why we live here in Southern California and why it's so awesome here is because in one day you could visit the beach, the desert, and the mountains. But what if I told you if you don't visit the mountains soon, you won't be able to because they're in a world of hurt? Our travel guy explains all of that next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's travel time, but with a twist this time around, because there is a destination that we all love here in Southern California, and if you've been to the area, no doubt you've been to our local mountains, the San Bernardino Mountains, to be specific. Everybody who lives here has been there. There's so much to do. We'll explain. Our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here. Gary, let's see. I've been on the... in fact, I honeymooned. Part of my honeymoon was in Big Bear.
Yeah.
And I've been on a boat, I've been fishing, I've been snowboarding, I've been skiing. What else have I done in the area? I've been to camp.
Right. Yeah. I think that's fairly common for most Southern Californians. You know, when the lake fire broke out, it's actually Jinx Lake, which is where I got my mile swim badge in the Boy Scouts. And Barton Flats is where we used to go camping all the time. And they're evacuating Seven Oaks, which is another area.
Well, right now, because the fire is burning, it's just getting worse. Why is it getting worse? Is it just the drought, or are there other things?
Well, yeah. I mean, the major thing that's going on here is the bark beetle. And we're going into about the fourth year of the drought. The bark beetles are these tiny little, the San Gabriel Valley Tribune just did a really nice piece on the impact of these things and how these fires are just going to get worse. They go in, they kill off the trees. They basically just, these trees essentially become kindling. The National Forest is trying to cut down the dead ones, but they just can't do it fast enough. So, you've got basically 10 million dead trees in the western United States. And some of the areas that we like to go to, like the San Bernardino Mountains, the Los Padres National Forest, are just disasters waiting to happen, and they're already starting up.
This bark beetle, Gary, does it not have a natural predator?
Yes, cold. And there's been no cold. And the further down in elevation you get, the worse it is. I have a little B&B that I like in Running Springs. And they had to tear down about a third of the trees there, and they made like nice little arches and stuff like that. But then you get up, to Lake Arrowhead, and finally at the Big Bear. Big Bear is up a pretty good elevation, but in 4 years it's just been terrible. One of the things people have to remember is it's an artificial world up there. Jinx Lake, a lake fire, man-made lake.
Yeah.
Big Bear, man-made lake.
Yeah.
Lake Arrowhead, man-made lake. These are not natural, alpine lakes or anything like that. So this is a dry area. The area that's burning right now in the, which is a very popular camping area, it's the Pacific Crest Trail. It's the route up to Mount San Gorgonio, which is after Whitney, the tallest mountain in California, all shut down. These are all extremely popular spots. And it's just really sad. It's just a sad situation.
Yeah,
the area around there had not burned in 100 years.
How do you turn it around? I mean, there really isn't any way to do it, is it?
There really isn't any way to do it. We just kind of hope for a switch over to a degree on the climate and have a wet winter, have a cold winter. But when 10 million trees are dead, they're just sitting out there, and they, you know, as opposed to a live tree, a dried out dead tree just burns like, you know, like the stuff you put in your fireplace.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's not just, you know, Southern California. Unfortunately, a lot of places that people like to go this time of year are having really bad fires. I mean, you know, up in Alaska, they're having 238 fires. 15 of them are major.
Yeah.
And there's fires in Oregon. There's fires in Arizona. I mean, part of it is, you know, it's the first day of summer. We're getting into the hot period. But it's hopefully this will not be a long, hot summer of a lot of this. But with the bark beetle, unless we get some freezing, that's just going to keep going.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is, with the drought, as long as it's been going, the communities in the mountains really need the tourism right now.
Right.
Because they're not making any money during the snow season because the snow season is so short.
Right. We have a tendency to think of Bear Mountain and things like that, but really it's the summertime when those areas are much more popular, a lot more people visit. You know, going back to the days of Hollywood, you know, Charlie Chaplin built a hotel up in Lake Arrowhead. You know, it was a lot of people had homes around Lake Arrowhead, and then Big Bear was sort of a more middle-class type place with the ski ball and pinball parlors. And, yeah, you know, you take the boats out on the lake and stuff like that. You know, it's where I learned to canoe. I spent so many great summer days in that part of the world. And it's, you know, you're basically being robbed of that, because even if you go up and the area where you're at isn't burning, the air quality is not great, it's incredibly hot, and it's just not pleasant.
Yeah. Now, is there any water in the lake up there at Big Bear or Arrowhead or any of the adjoining lakes?
You know, I haven't checked recently, Phil, to be honest with you, of where the dam levels are at. I think they're higher than they were at the worst point in the drought, like back around 2008. You know, you got to remember, in 2008, we had over 800 wildfires burning. Mm-hmm. In California, and right now we got about 200. And that same time of year, you know, basically this is sort of end of June. One of the reasons that you get a lot of it is you're getting lightning strikes.
Yeah.
In these dry areas. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just going to have to wait and see the way things come out on this.
Yeah, I think so. So when you go to Running Springs. There's a...
I have to say, by the way, I misspoke. It's actually in Blue Jay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, every time that I've visited, and this is a plug for a place that I love, when I go to Running Springs, you know, when you can take the... You're on the... Is it the 18, right where it splits with the... I want to say...
Rim of the World?
Yeah, right up there. There's a little business turnoff where you go through the main town, and there's a place called the Old Country Coffee Shop.
Yeah,
and if you want just a Americana breakfast, and you're sitting about 3 feet away from the guy on the grill, and the guy on the grill is a prolific master, he's probably the same guy there every time, and the waitresses are all sassy, and you might have to wait a little bit to get a table because it's not a very big place, but once you sit down, it's worth it. And
it's a great spot. Yeah. My favorite, actually, Phil, is to go up the back way. Through like Redlands and Mentone. Mentone had like the oldest A&W root beer for a long time.
Ooh.
The frost and mugs and everything like that. And then you go up through, you go to Camp Angeles, and Camp Angeles is basically a firefighter center, but they had a great coffee shop there. And same thing, you know, just a little hole in the wall with navy bean soup and hamburgers and stuff like that. But you really felt like you were in a special place in Southern California.
Yeah.
What's happened is that, as the area has grown, you have people who are living and commuting from places like Running Springs and even Lake Arrowhead down into the basin. So those areas have expanded.
Well, let's hope the weather turns around here one of these years and things get back to relative norm, and they figure out how to deal with that bark beetle. You know,
I mean, it's just, you know, if they can catch up with the trees and stabilize things, it's just such a beautiful area, such a great resource for you know, recreation in Southern California.
Certainly
is. And would hate that my children and you know, their children won't have the same opportunities that
All right.
Had.
Well, now that you brought us down, Gary, hopefully next week you'll have a happier topic for us to discuss.
We'll do something more fun. But I just, first day of summer, and it's, you know, a very popular spot is pretty well closed down in a lot of ways.
Yeah, talking to you today is like having our first day of vacation in the summer, and we get a terminal sunburn. and can't enjoy the rest of the trip.
Well, maybe we're talking about pools or beaches or something like that.
Yeah. All right, good. Gary Warner, always a pleasure. We'll speak to you again next week.
Take care, Phil. Bye.
All right. There we go. All right. So do we have anything left? Should we just, after that, we should just quit the show early? No? Yes?
I'm done.
All right. Fine. No, by the way, there is an example of poop eating coming up on the program. Just want to warn you. And there is also an example of why Facebook is more powerful than you would ever know. And those and more stories. Really, there's time for that coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Brooke and Chris are here. And if you've been to Disney World or Disneyland, you know that you will show up with money and leave broke. And somehow, I think that maybe the Disney people are just toying with us to see how far they can take us and to get us to buy more crap. And now they're going to see if they can make us eat crap, too. Disney's Animal Kingdom in Orlando has just introduced a new food, animal poop. Now, granted, it's not actual poop. That's just their name for round fudge brownies. But still, millions of kids will be begging their parents for $4 poop.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Well, I'm sure they're tasty. But kids love poop, right?
Well, kids love brownies.
Well, there's two things that are universally true. Kids love, I mean, poop jokes or poop or whatever, just looking at it and talking about it.
Kids love poop, really?
They do, yeah.
Why? How do you know they love poop?
Because it's just a thing. It's natural. It's visceral when you're a kid.
It's not just poop. It's just like bodies in general when you're kids. Remember when you'd be like, milk, lemonade, round the corner fudges made?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're running around in the park... And you're a grown-up.
Mike, tell him to stop.
You know well enough to step over to the side so you don't step in the dog poo. But how often do the kids just, I don't know if it's conscious or unconscious, or if they just prefer it that way, but the kids more or less every time will step directly onto the pile of poo with their brand-new tennis shoes.
Is it kind of like the sandcastle, though? You just want to crush it? Is it that kind of impulse?
Like, well, sandcastles aren't nearly as fun or funny. Right.
Yeah.
Poop on my shoe is not funny.
No, if you think about it, though, I mean, poo comes out of your butt.
Yeah, now, we've thought about that, Phil. Now, you've what's drawn amazing correlation?
If you're
there.
A child, what's more funny than that?
No. A billion things that I can think of, honestly. Yeah. How about the dog barking at itself in the mirror? That's pretty funny. Or biting its own foot.
The dog was barking in the mirror and then it pooed right there in your living room,
I'd be like, oh my God.
Yes, but you're a grown up. If you're a kid, that's one of those.
That's like a 10.
Yeah.
You hit the trifecta.
Oh my God. You're going to tell your friends immediately.
I don't know.
Aren't you? Come on. What's making me feel like some kind of deviant?
You do talk a lot about poop, Phil.
Well, poop is often in the news. It is. All right, so the folks at Facebook they're pretty much going to take over the world at some point, aren't they, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like it. The latest story is Facebook's stock went up 3% today. And even bigger news, that puts them not only at an all-time high, but it makes the company now worth more than Walmart.
Wow.
Mm.
So Facebook, that doesn't even really sell a tangible good, nor does it even charge for its service, is now worth more than the largest mega chain on the planet.
That's pretty incredible.
It is. And you know what else is weird? Facebook now can recognize you in photos even if your face is covered.
That's not true. It's not possible.
No. They just tested, or they're testing, a new tool that could recognize and tag you in photos even if your face isn't showing. It works by learning other things about how you look.
Oh, my God.
They're judging your body. Like your hairstyle, your clothing, your body shape, and your usual poses.
This is so creepy. Yeah. Will it ever stop?
Well, look at this.
Get off it and it'll be stopped for you.
Just when you think they can't get creepier,
it's
they 83%
accurate in testing so far, and there's no word on when it could become standard across Facebook.
How accurate? What was the percentage?
83%.
Ugh.
It makes sense that if it associates you with your friends and with a certain group of people, then it's sort of an algorithm to say, okay, that fifth person, you can't see their face, but that person always runs around with these people, plus they have the same sort of structure. Okay.
So now they're using the powers of deduction to track
you. But if they're looking at your body, Brooke, can they tell if you're a conservative or a liberal?
It depends on how much you weigh.
Does it?
No, not really.
Explain yourself, young lady.
There is a research,
a study.
Thank you. I knew it was in there somewhere. Okay, so there's this study that actually says that conservatives might be better at dieting than liberals.
I think they might be doing it more often. Dieting more often.
I disagree. I would think liberals would be dieting more.
Liberals would prefer that everybody else diet.
Yes. Well, they also liken this to their ability to exert self-control. And they say there's a link between your political ideology and your ability to exert self-control.
Yes. Conservatives are more rigid. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so that's what the idea is. So my point is, my point is, why does it seem to be that most conservative states have the highest amount of obesity in people who
are
overweight?
We're talking red states, right?
Red states. If I actually did a little Google search, speaking of Google, looking at their map of overweight people.
Yeah.
And it's the Bible Belt. It's the red states. It's most obese.
And maybe that's what Chris is right there. Since that number of obesity is higher in red states, perhaps the number of people dieting is higher. But
they're supposed to be good at it.
The premise is that they're good at it.
Maybe they're good at it because they do it more often. Who knows? That stuff's all horse pucky, really, is what it is.
Oh, that's
all
funny.
All of those.
Is that a poo joke?
Yeah.
That's
what you call it. Or road apples.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
It's all made for salacious.
Speaking of salacious stuff.
You can't judge your weight control by your political affiliation.
No, but maybe Facebook can tell. Who knows? Mm. Speaking of salacious, the list of athletes who will appear naked in ESPN's body issue is out. You want to know some of them?
The female ones, yeah.
All right.
I'll take the others.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you them in no particular order. And I don't think we're going to get Prince Fielder again, although he was, in all of his roundness, was featured last year.
Oh, that's nice.
NFL players on the list, New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., Colts offensive lineman Anthony Costanzo, Jack Muhort, and Todd Hermans, all naked. Basketball players, Cleveland Cavaliers forward Kevin Love, Clippers center DeAndre Jordan. That's a tall lot of naked man right there. And Phoenix Mercury center. Phoenix Mercury? Is that what they're called now?
You lost me. I thought that there was going to be females on this list.
Oh, Phil. Phoenix Mercury is a female team. That's an WNBA team.
All right.
Brittany Griner.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
You have no idea who she is.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think she played for Notre Dame, if I remember correctly.
Baseball players. Washington Nationals outfielder Bryce Harper. Hockey player Tyler Seguin of the Dallas Stars. U.S. women's soccer player Allie Krieger.
Mm.
You know what she looks like?
No, but I've seen Hope Solo naked.
Men's soccer player, U.S. men's, Jermaine Jones. And this year's Tastefully Naked Olympians include gymnast Allie Reisman, swimmer Natalie Coughlin.
They can't really be naked.
Well, you know, they're posed in a way that you don't see.
Now we're talking.
You don't see too much.
But they're naked. They're naked, but they're figuring out a way
through
their
covered
positioning.
Yeah.
Field hockey player Paige Selensky, hammer thrower Amanda Bingson and heptathlete Shantae McMillan.
Heptathlete. What do you? How many athletes are there in a heptathlete?
Is that eight?
It sounds like no. That's octa.
Yeah.
Oh. Hept octolete.
Is hept nine?
So we must be talking. We must be talking 12.
You know this.
Yeah,
is,
I like
is
that
a,
one. 12.
This is a particularly stupid show today. We can't remember what hept is and rotunda. We're clueless, aren't we? We're just absolutely useless.
Yep. Give us something else. What else we got?
Yeah, I don't know. My dog eats dog food.
Yeah.
And I bet your dog does too. But we get that particular brand that the actor Dick Van Patten makes. Did you know he was a big dog food guy?
Yeah, I did not. I don't know a lot about Dick Van Patten other than the fact that he just recently passed away, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's it makes me sad. But there was another guy that you may not know his name, but you know his music. Just passed away.
Yeah.
Who was that?
James Horner.
Oh.
And I would think that most people would know his name. I guess, you know, that's the weird thing about when you're into something, you think everybody else might be into it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I did not know his name, but his music, you know, once his list of credits is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's like the musical
Titanic
soundtracks for
and name, you have
Braveheart
a bunch of, yeah.
And... I don't have the list in front of me.
You don't?
Avatar.
Avatar.
But it's a good list.
Yeah, it is. It's a great list.
Yeah.
So the guys put together a lot of music compositions.
Was it Field
with
of Dreams?
With some great
one
directors.
Of
Field of Dreams was on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Aliens was one of them.
See, it's coming back to you now.
Yeah. It's all coming back to me now.
Well, how about that?
A plane crash.
Yeah. So
yeah, flying his own plane. Flying his own plane and crashed it right here in Santa Barbara.
That's sad, but there is happier aviation news. There's a great video that you can Google of a pilot who took off at his plane and then noticed that there was a cat hiding underneath one of his wings.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
it's really cute. Except for the part where the cat loses balance and flies off from 30,000 feet in the air.
I don't know, but by the way, Hep is seven.
Oh,
thank you to my lovely wife Remy.
I knew she'd come through.
Hey, we love your comments. You can go ahead and tell us that we're stupid. We're on Twitter, at Pfaff Show. We're on Facebook as well. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, for being here today, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, and for Aaron Myers, who will be back soon, we promise, Chris Martin, and for Brooke, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports... speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.